man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
400-4483. Hey, welcome to the Hawk Fanatic Mailbag Podcast. I am your host, Rob Howe. It is Tuesday, May the 14th, a little bit a shade after 9 a.m. Central Time. So kind of on schedule this morning, which is a minor miracle after yesterday's late news dump of Lisa Bluter retiring. I think that caught a lot of people off guard. And the reactions are still pouring in the next day. I am currently working on a column trying to gather my thoughts on Lisa Bluter's 24 years at Iowa and 40 years in coaching overall. And goes out on top, and people will say, what do you mean on top? She lost in the national championship game the last 2 years. Well, to me, that's on top. That's still a really, really amazing achievement. And only one person could actually go out on top each year if you're retiring as a champion. But I think top includes more than one in my view. But other people, I know, are sticklers. And top means you're on the very tippy top. But anyway, I digress with the semantics. Just an outstanding career and, you know, impacted a lot of lives and, you know, is will be a legend here forever. She's beloved in Iowa City, you know, and spent her whole life here, you know, went to she's from Marion. I don't remember if she went to Linmar or Marion High School. I should probably look that up, huh? It's probably, she did go to Linmar. She graduated in 1979. And then, as many of you know, went on to play at UNI, where she, graduated from. And then not long after that, she became the head coach at St. Ambrose and, eventually had that team in what they called then, and they may still, the NAIA Fab Four. She made that in back-to-back years with a combined 70-3 record in her last 2 years at St. Ambrose. Then, before she left Drake, in her last four seasons at Drake, they won three MVC championships and made the NCAA tournament all three of those years, and they were second and made it to the WNAT semifinals the year they didn't go to the big dance in her last 4 years at Drake. So, and those teams were, you know, 23, 25, 21, 23 victories, and dominant in the MVC. And then here, you know, obviously, the 2020 season was canceled with COVID, but if you go to her last 5 years at Iowa, it's two national runners-up, an Elite Eight, and a Sweet 16, with also a second-round NCAA tournament berth. So she leaves programs in better shape than where she finds them, and that is what she's done here. Jan Jensen, her longtime side, what do I want to call it? Right hand woman. You know, all those old cliches. Her associate head coach, her friend, her person that helped her build this, along with Jenny Fitzgerald. That trio has been amazing together. everywhere they've been. And I'm writing about it and have more detail into each of their responsibilities, I guess, in the three-person partnership. It was very unique in how they built what they built. And I'm trying to get that down in words and also express an appreciation for what they did at Iowa. And Jan will continue to do. Hopefully Jenny stays on her staff. Obviously there's a coaching opening now. I don't know as they'll have an associate head coach. They probably won't in this position unless it is Jenny Fitzgerald, which they could bring back. I'm not sure what her position is now. It's not like it's complicated. I'll let you guys kind of look into it. It's hard because they're constantly changing the responsibilities and the size of the coaching staff and what's allowed from this person and that person. Can this person recruit and not recruit on campus, off all that stuff? It's complicated, but Jenny's been a part of the staff. She didn't announce her retirement, but she just announced she was taking a kind of a step away from all of her responsibilities. But I think her key responsibilities, which is tutoring and developing guards, is alive and well in Iowa City. If you go through what Iowa's had at that position, including arguably the greatest player of all time at the college level in Caitlin Clark. But yeah, so Lisa Bluter moves on. The Jan Jensen head coaching era begins. Jan has obviously had other opportunities at other schools, but a stage committed to Lisa, and this seems like a natural progression and succession plan. Not surprising at all. I don't think it raised the eyebrows of anybody. I mean, you could make an argument that they should open that job up and see what else is out there, but I'm not sure you can find a more seamless transition to continue what Lisa Bluter has built here than by hiring Jan Jensen. And that is where we are on that. That is obviously the major news of the day and week. And so we'll see what happens there going forward. I have some questions about recruits and stuff like that pertaining to that decision, which I will get to in a minute. Wanted to also put out there, overshadowed yesterday by the Lisa Bluter news, was that and if you're going, and if you don't have tickets and you want to go to the Polk County I Club, Lisa Bluter will be there tonight, along with Kirk Ferentz, Beth Getz. I think Matt Gatens is there. So that's over in Des Moines tonight. You can find that at Polk County I Club online. You'll find a way to buy your tickets and go to that, and you can talk and hear from them. And I'm sure tonight will be a well-covered event over in Des Moines with Lisa Bluter joining the other Iowa coaches in an engagement that was previously set. And as the professional that Lisa Bluter is, she's holding true to that. I thought they may send Jan over there, but Lisa's going to take one more trip on the rubber chicken circuit, so to speak. So that's tonight. But anyway, also yesterday's news was that Kate Martin made the final cuts and is on the opening day roster for the Las Vegas Aces, along with Megan Gustafson. We all know that Caitlin Clark, the number one pick in the WNBA draft, is playing for Indiana. And I believe they play Vegas. Let me see here. I'm going to pull up the WNBA schedule 2024. It starts tonight is what I was getting to. But part of the draw with the W with where was I going with that? I'm not sure where I was going with that. I'm sorry. I kind of, the last few weeks have kind of gotten lost in my head on this podcast a few times, but okay, so 6:30 tonight on ESPN2, you have the Indiana Fever at the Connecticut Sun, Caitlin Clark's debut. That is followed by, on ESPN2 at 9 p.m., the Las Vegas Aces playing host to the Phoenix Mercury, and that is Megan and Kate in their opener. And they are 15-point favorites. See, the Fever are plus 6.5. So this Caitlin is an underdog tonight, whereas Kate and Megan are favorites. So there are four games tonight, and then the Indiana Fever have their home opener on Thursday, and that is against the New York Liberty and Sabrina Ionescu and Stewie and all that really good team. So that'll be a good challenge for Indiana as well. And that's on Prime. And then on Saturday, you'll see another back-to-back with Indiana and the Aces. They don't play each other, but Indiana will be at New York on Saturday. That's an ABC game at noon Central Time, and then at 2 Central Time on ABC, the Sparks with Cameron Brink against the Las Vegas Aces. So most of Caitlin's games are on TV. Some of them are streaming services, but most of them you can find on your TV. Let's see here when, and then I'll move on to your questions. We're kind of dragging here a little bit, but let's see here. All right. They're not giving me just the Fever schedule. I was going to see when the Fever play the Aces, but they're not giving me that. So let's see. The first game with the Aces, I can't find it. Let's go. Teams, Indiana Fever. This is great podcasting here. Schedule. And let's see. The Fever and the Aces play on Saturday, May 25th. And that is, not seeing the TV on that yet. I think that's probably a pre to be determined, but that is in Las Vegas. And then they will play again. Pull up the schedule. It's fever.wnba.com/schedule. But they do play, I see, at least twice. They play at least twice. Oh, they play at least, they play three times, twice in Vegas and once in Indiana. So that'll be fun when those games happen. But anyway, let's jump into your questions. There are quite a few in here and want to get to those. This one is from May 9th, which was last week. This is presumably when Brandon Sullivan committed to Iowa last week, the quarterback from Northwestern. But this is from 44MLess at 44MLess, a frequent contributor to the podcast. And again, hashtag is HFmail. Use that anytime during the week between the time as I record the podcast. I'll go back to where I left off the previous week with the new podcast, without whatever the last question was. And ironically, 44 had the last question last week and the first question this week. So early prediction, Rob, on who starts more games this year, Cade or Brendan? Thanks and have a great week. I'm going to say Sullivan. And the reason for that is just because I don't know the health of Cade Mack. I think if Cade is fully healthy at the start of the season, he will be the starter until ineffective or injured. And I think he'll be effective. So I'm going to lean towards him. But it's a good question and one that has the potential to morph into a quarterback controversy. We'll see where that goes. Everybody loves those. People pick a side and then they scream at each other and explain why they're right and you're wrong. And then, then we go on from there. But I'm going to lean towards Cade less, but I could see it really going either way. And my hopes are that just the offense is watchable it hasn't been for a while, and it would be nice to just see some consistent success on that side of the ball. It doesn't have to be explosive or dominating. Just make it watchable, you know, and it just hasn't been. So good question though, and I think it's one that's going to be answered qu or asked quite a bit between now and the start of the season, and then probably throughout the season, unless Iowa gets off to a bang up start. Trip Manfro with pizza and beer mugs emojis on his at PFAC51 on Twitter X. He asked this 23 hours ago, what happened to the 2024 men's basketball Gavitt game? Not renewed to due to Big Ten expansion? Spencer, that's his first question. I don't know what has happened to the Gavitt games, but with all the conference alignment, I'm guessing that is probably the reason why it's not around. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's something that will continue into the future. Or if it's been called, the games were played as re here it is as a result. Yes, conference realignment smashed the Gavitt games, according to what I can find. Trip. So unfortunate, but not surprising. A lot of things go, you get things, that you like. But sometimes you lose things that you like when these things happen. And then his second question is Spencer Lee, start the Olympic gold medal hype. I don't know, is my answer to that. I wish I followed it more closely. It doesn't fit into my schedule a lot of times. I try to follow Iowa wrestling, but then when they are done matriculating through this university, sometimes it's hard to kind of keep an eye on what's going on. I certainly am happy for Spencer and hope he pushes for an Olympic gold medal. I just don't know how he shapes up against the field. But we'll learn more about that moving forward, and I'll read more about that as we get closer to Paris and his participation in that event. So, yeah, that should be fun. Should be a fun summer with Spencer Lee in Paris. Another one from Tripp. This was a follow-up to those first two questions. Thomas Gilman has joined the Oklahoma State Cowboys wrestling staff. Is this now 24/25 appointment TV? Yeah, I think it's unfortunate what happened with Thomas Gilman, and then before that, Ramos. It seems like there's been drama at that weight class for Iowa. And it's a shame because all of those guys are such good wrestlers. But it does seem like Thomas Gilman has kind of moved on from Iowa wrestling for other clubs and lost to Spencer in the Olympic trials, and as Tripp said, recently named an assistant coach at Oklahoma State. Yeah, that'll add to the rivalry, just like the guys at Iowa State, or you know, the guys wherever. There's Iowa guys all over, and this is just another log on that fire. Iowa can't employ every coach that's that's wrestled for them. And there's going to be some uncomfortability. Is that a word? It's going to be uncomfortable at times in these situations. So we love to watch that, though, right? To witness when there's friction between parties in a sporting event. So, yeah, that'll be something. I think it's here next year, too, right? Weren't they at Oklahoma State this year? I can't remember. So Gilman coming back to Carver would certainly be something that should be entertaining. Another one from Trip. Over under. Oh, another quarterback question. Number of 2024 football games starts at quarterback for Brendan Sullivan. I'll guess 5.5. I'm going to go under that number. I'm going to believe in Cade until I can't believe anymore. He was the guy that the chips were put in December of 2022. Injuries have held him back. I'm going for a healthy Cade McNamara who goes out there and manages this offense, makes plays that are makeable, is accurate with his throws, doesn't turn the ball over, and Iowa goes to the college football playoff. There you go. And then for the C part of this entry, Tripp is kind enough to give me a coffee sip, which I will now take. Hang in. Good stuff. For the uninitiated, the coffee sip is a part of the Mailbag podcast. As a solo podcaster, I have to that prefers to do these, that these fit into my day's best earlier in the morning and earlier in the day while I'm drinking coffee. So I need to have breaks to drink said coffee. Okay, we'll do, let's do a couple more here before we go to a break. California Hawkeye at D Freen, also a frequent contributor to the Hawk Fanatic Mailbag podcast. With Bluter's retirement and Jensen being named head coach, will Iowa be able to hang on to their recruits? Does Lucy still come? Where are we at with the Arkansas transfer? Have not heard the Arkansas transfer schedule a visit yet here, so that's the next step with that. Once that happens, then I'll take that more seriously. The Arkansas transfer is going to get quite a bit of attention. The competition will be hard. It's key to get her on campus, which we'll see if that happens. If it's been scheduled and I missed that, I apologize. I think Lucy still comes. I wouldn't be surprised if she was given some type of alert that this may happen when she was being recruited. But it also could be that Bluter just had been thinking about this and finally was like, okay, I don't know. Having not talked to Lisa, I don't know if this was just a, you know, think about it and then got to this decision, you know, within the last couple of days, if it was pretty much decided during the season. It wasn't talked about and it wasn't asked, but sometimes these decisions are just boom, pull the Band-Aid off, and some are a process to get here. We'll have to hear from Lisa what that is, but Iowa is still Iowa. Jan Jensen recruits most of these kids, or at least is involved in the recruitment of most of these kids. You never say never that kids won't continue on with, first of all, the 24 class, the one that gets here next month, they're already signed. All five of those kids are signed along with Lucy. So that's six kids that are already signed. They can get out of those national letters of intent these days. But this close to the season, May, I think I would be surprised if they lost any of those five. And again, Jan, as associate head coach, was involved in the recruitment of all of these kids. So they all know her, as well as the 25. Addie Deal, I know, is the one that people are really concerned about. Jan and Jenny are, she's close with them too. So it's not, you never say never in these situations. I haven't heard anything in terms of restlessness, Dean, on what's going on recruiting trail wise, but until I do, we'll see what happens. But again, this isn't going outside of the family for the replacement. It's one person is retiring in the family, but the family's still there and we'll add an assistant. So there, there's that. All right. Let's go one more here with AP Hawkeye, Andy Paul Rules One, a contributor to this podcast pretty much since day one. It's not weekly, but it's frequently and periodically, depending. But appreciate his contributions as well as everybody else on here. And Andy asked, do you feel Kirk Ferentz's future should be treated like a year-to-year proposition? This past offseason was the first time I felt there was a better fit than a 50-50 chance he would leave. It's an interesting question, especially when you compare it to Lisa, who was the second longest tenured coach, I believe, at Iowa. I think Larissa Libby, who retired amidst an investigation into how her program was being run, the women's gymnastics program at Iowa, her resignation wasn't announced yesterday. She was 20 plus years at Iowa. So Kirk is what, a year ahead of Lisa? Was a year ahead of Lisa? Year or two? I think it's a year, but I could be wrong on that. Anyway, it kind of makes you think about it more, right? Similar. Well, actually, Kirk's older, but just similar run here. I don't know. I'm not sure when Kirk will go out, but I think it's year to year whether you make that formal, Andy, or you just, it's just assumed. And I think that's fair. When we get to this point, it could happen at any moment. It could happen after any season. Could it be after this one? Who knows? Could it be next one? Who knows? He seems to be enjoying it. Me personally, if I had made as much money as Kirk and I was his age, I would be out. I love what I do, but I would love retirement a whole lot more and spending time with family and traveling and doing things. But sometimes these guys are wired differently and this becomes their life. And it seems kind of like that's where Kirk Ferentz is. I'm not saying he only engages in football activities. He has grandchildren and children and a wife and family. And I'm sure he spends a decent amount of time with them, but I'm not sure what he's chasing. But hopefully whatever it is he catches for his sake. All right. Now's a probably a pretty good time to take a break. And I had that ad pulled up and now I do again. Support for the podcast comes from Systems Unlimited, celebrating 50 years of providing services to people living with disabilities and mental health needs throughout East Central Iowa. A list of their services and upcoming events can be found at sui.org. That is sui.org. Systems Unlimited, great work in the community for over half a century. Appreciate that and also appreciate the support of our podcast here on the Hawk Fanatic feed. Please like and subscribe. Let's hear from a few more sponsors and I will be back on the other side with more of your questions. Hang in there.
Hi, this is AJ Perez, managing partner at Deary Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Waukee and Iowa City. I'm so proud of our team at both locations. We are committed to one thing, giving our customers the absolute best when it comes to service and a car buying experience, the kind of experience that brings you back. What makes us different? We believe at Deary, we don't just sell cars, we help people buy them.
Do you need a great electrical contractor or fire and water restoration specialist? Well, contact Lance Bolin at LB Electric and LJ Construction in North Liberty. Lance has served the corridor for many years and is ready to help you. Call Lance Bolin at 319-640-1116. That's 319-640-1116. Or visit LJ_construction on Instagram for licensed and insured electrical work, fire and water restoration, and remodeling.
And we are back to let you know that switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Chad Birch right here in Iowa City can switch you over so you can start saving today. Chad and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm family. With Chad Birch, it's easy to switch and save. Just give him a call when you want the real deal, like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. All right. Thank you to all of our sponsors. We appreciate the support. We appreciate your support, and we appreciate questions from you folks, which we will continue on with now as I get back to my Twitter X feed. Another one from 44MLess on Twitter. This is from yesterday. The other night, the Indiana Fever coach had some comments on some aspects of CC's game and was wondering your thoughts on it. Do you think CC needs to break some bad habits as her present coach alluded to? Thanks. I think when we stop improving, stop evolving, stop addressing areas that can be improved, we fail, right? So I think the comments were a little weird at the point that, and I'm not sure why, I don't know if you, it's like a power thing for coaches sometimes with the need to, you know, say the superstar needs to be better. But she is a rookie and she's going to have growing pains. And there are areas of her game that WNBA players will see on film and try to expose, particularly her on defense. So these are all things that Caitlin will have to work at. The good news is she is not going to class anymore at the University of Iowa and has full time. She can work on her game every single day. Every single day. Not that she did it before, but this is her job now. So as good as she was when it was a part-time job along with school, now it's her full-time job. And she knows she has weaknesses. She will address those and get better. I think she's probably fine with the coach saying what the coach said. Because nobody is perfect. And people, we all have things we can improve, even Caitlin Clark. And it's okay to say it. It is. And it's okay for the Indiana coach to point those out and kind of set, I don't want to say a hierarchy, but just kind of set the tone in her locker room that the new kid isn't just going to run shit around here. We're going to make sure that everybody's working together. I don't think that's an issue with Caitlin, but it's good to be a reminder of we're a team, we're all working to get better individually, and we're all working to get better as a unit, as a group, as a team, and let's do it. Dan Brockett at Freakademic asks, how much of a problem will it be, in your opinion, if Iowa can't add a wide receiver in this portal cycle? I think it's hard to quantify how big of a problem. I'm very much of the belief that Iowa needs to add at least one more receiver in the transfer portal. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's the number one, now that you got Sullivan, it's the number one need in the portal. You know, and that means that you're going to be over another scholarship. I think they're at 87 or 88 now. So that puzzle still has to be figured out. But yeah, I mean, I like the potential of Caleb Brown. I think Seth Anderson has a chance to be good. Caden Weechen is a nice weapon that's used like Tyrone Tracy should have been used when he was here, kind of a Swiss Army knife, if you will. A guy that can jet sweep, screen pass, take a short pass and make people miss, things like that. So there are some pieces there. The cupboard is not bare. The Jacob Bostic to Texas A&M one is both weird and costly for Iowa. But what are you going to do? You know, kid wanted to go. But Reese Vanderzee is a wide receiver coming in, true freshman from Central Lyon. We'll see if he can add anything to the mix. You have Howard and Bowie from last year. So there are some pieces there. And some of the younger guys, it's hard for me to know how far advanced they are or how far along they are in their development. So that kind of leaves some gray area to me expressing my opinion on this one, Dan. But I do think bringing in a receiver is just so obvious right now that they probably won't do it. I know they're looking. We'll see if they're able to land one. Kevin Melkert, hey Melkert 91, has been contributor on the podcast before. Haven't heard from him in a while. Good to hear and see you check in, Kevin. Any more details on what led to Larissa Libby's resignation? Nothing more than speculation, hearsay, and rumors around town, and not ones that I would feel comfortable sharing because I don't know them to be fact. I think the best way to frame it is she had student athletes in her program that did not feel she was running a welcoming program. And this doesn't mean that don't do not equate that with being soft or kissing the student athlete's ass. Basically, charging, what's it, misbehave, nah, it's not misbehavior, charging, I can't, I'm not sure how to say it, abuse in the program, and maybe that's even too far, I guess. How they were treated. Student athletes did not like how they were treated in her program. Maybe that's the best way to put it. That seems to be it. They're looking into it. My guess is they were like, listen, they being counsel at Iowa, there's enough here that we can be sued by these student athletes. This reminds me a little bit of the Gail Blevins situation. We don't want to be sued. What can we do to compensate you to resign? And unless they found, they investigated and found corroborating evidence, because oftentimes in these situations, Kevin's, it's a she said, she said, he said, she said, whatever. And that most likely was the case here. But she said, as a student athlete, charging mistreatment from a coach is going to carry enough weight legally that it's probably best just to settle it now and move on. It's unfortunate, but had there been enough, had there been this been like one or two student athletes and all the other student athletes stood by the coach and went against those two student athletes or one student athlete, that's different. That is support of the coach. That didn't happen here. And this is the result. So it's unfortunate. She had a really good run here. I don't have any insight. I've tried to poke around with some people, connections I have in the community, and that's pretty much the most sound and logical explanation to all this, Kevin. So we'll see what happens here in terms of hiring a new gymnastics coach. Tom Kasobiec, a contributor in the past to the podcast. Haven't seen Tom in a while. Good to see him pop up here on the mailbag. Jensen replacing Bluder reminds me of Guthridge replacing Dean Smith at UNC. The result is one surprise Final Four, but a mediocre tenure. Can you think of a longtime assistant who replaced their boss and had great success? I guess we just hope for the best. Yeah, that's that. You're Tom. Do not dismiss your opinion. When I heard yesterday, I was like, might be a good idea to open up the search to see what else is out there. Maybe look at a former Hawkeye who's had success in head coaching or something like that. But I think Jan has worked towards this. I'm not sure going through the interview process, you would have had anyone with as much support within the Iowa locker room. So I think this is the way to go. And Jan gets to prove, at whatever, she's in her mid-50s, that she can be a head coach. She's never been one before. She's been an associate head coach. She's had a great deal of influence on what Iowa has done, but it's different when you go from, that second or third chair to the first chair, and you're looked at differently. You're the head coach. You're the boss now. So we'll see how that goes. It could be Guthridge. It could be somewhere in the middle. I don't have anybody on the top of my mind who was an assistant that took over and succeeded. I'll probably think of something after I stop recording, but I'm sure there have been assistants that have gone on and done well. We're seeing it in real time with John Shire at Duke right now. But yeah, it's a tough act to follow, but Jensen has had a close up look at what goes into the act to make it successful and has had input in that. So you have to hope for the best there, but it's a fair question, Tom. And I know Jan is a popular pick and I have no issue with it. But she's got to win, right? And we'll see how that goes. The bar is extremely high right now. Apiragon at Apiragon, also a familiar face that I haven't seen around in a while. For me, Bud Meyer is the elephant in the room. Wide receivers got to get better. Drops are a huge problem, but Bud has no experience as a wide receiver coach. Did anything you saw at spring practice indicate Lester expanding running back use in the passing game as a workaround? Maybe that's how Lester got all the running backs to stay. It's a good question. It's a fair question. Good observations. I think the most encouraging thing I saw at the open practice was that Lester was also working with wide receivers along with Bud Meyer. So there's experience there. Both of those guys have quarterback backgrounds. So it's not like the receiver position is completely foreign to them. They understand what's expected of that position. So you have to hope that that collaboration can help them develop at that position. Because until you start developing guys at this position, we're going to be in the same position every year of scrambling into the transfer portal to try to get somebody. Because Caleb Brown came around this time last year, if I remember correctly. It's going to be this scramble. And maybe that's the way it works. But ideally, you have to start developing receivers within the program. That's how it's worked with Amir Smith, Marsette, and Brandon Smith. That's how it worked with McNutt and DJK. Those were good wide receiver combinations. And there were other guys involved in those wide receiver combinations, but they were developed in the program. You have the benefit of the transfer portal now. You have the benefit of NIL and getting guys to come in. But we're seeing now how much damage Iowa's reputation is doing on the recruiting trail, because you had a receiver from Missouri State, Sharp, who visited here and ended up going to Fresno State. So no offense to the Bulldogs, but the kid had a chance to go to play Power Four football and decided not to. That's not a good commentary on what we're seeing here. As far as the running backs, I think there's more of an opportunity. I didn't necessarily see more of that at the spring game. I did see some screens and some different pitches and different ways to get the running backs in space. Again, I think Caden Weechen can be a weapon as kind of a hybrid receiver running back. I just think my hope, Apiragon, is that Tim Lester looks at his roster on offense and says, these are my best guys. How do I get them the ball? Easier said than done, but please make it happen. We've seen and heard offensive coordinators come in here and say, I'm going to cater my system to the personnel I have on the roster. And then boom, they try to ram that square peg into a round hole and it doesn't work. So I have hope. Cautiously optimistic. I'll believe it when I see it. However you want to frame it is how I am traveling through this offseason till I see it on the field. Last one of the day, and this one is from Tripp. He started us off. He will finish us off. Actually, no, I think Les started us off. Tripp will finish us off. Who will replace Jan as assistant head coach? I'm not sure there will be an assistant head coach. But I don't know. I'm sure they have some people in mind. I think Randy Peterson Henderson, former player here. She's been an assistant and head coach. She would be an excellent choice, I think. I'm not sure. She was with Kara Consuegra at Charlotte. Kara, another former Iowa Hawkeye, who Bluder inherited both of those players from Angie Lee. Kara was given or was named the head coach at Marquette this offseason. So I assume she'll probably bring Randy with her there, but it might be, I think Kara Consuegra and Jenny Baranchik, formerly Jenny Lillis, Jenny Lillis Baranchik, to me, those are the two obvious choices to take over for Jan when she's done, depending on where those two are in their careers. But those are two excellent. And I would inquire with Randy, because I think that also brings in a post tutor. She teaches post players, and that's been Jan's main job. Jan's going to have to relinquish some of that. She can help whoever she brings in, but Randy Peterson would, to me, be like Randy Peterson Henderson, to me, would be the no-brainer. Any concern with women's basketball recruits that haven't signed going elsewhere now that lose? Dean had asked this earlier trip, and I answered that. So check that answer on early in the podcast if you haven't. If you skip to the end to hear your questions answered, I don't think so. I haven't seen any indication of that. It's a good time because there's only one unsigned committed player in 25 so far, and the 524 kids, along with Lucy Olson, the transfer from Villanova, are all signed and scheduled to be here either this month or next month. So I think we're good to go there. And now this is an opportunity for Jan and whoever is on her staff to build that 25 class and beyond. So it's actually a pretty good time for this to happen in terms of recruiting cycles. So there you go. I know Emily asked a question, excuse me, because I saw it underneath my solicitation for questions. And of course, Emily asks, hey, Rob, do you have a favorite memory of Coach Bluder? And this is at Emily Hawk 99. I attended a wedding with Lisa once. We'll keep that on the down low. That was a long time ago, man. But just for some brief history here, and not to toot my own horn, but I was at the Press Citizen when Lisa was hired here, and I wrote a column advocating for her, and then covered the story when she was hired and covered her teams and, you know, those first teams that made it to the second round of the NCAA. I traveled to Utah, to Salt Lake City, and I believe the second year was to Storrs. I think they lost to Sue Bird's team, if I'm not mistaken, in her second year in the second round after beating Virginia in the first round. Testing my memory now. But so I don't know as I have like a favorite memory that sticks out, but just all the years of just and it's fallen off. I've gone to a different part of my career. I'm no longer a beat writer. I'm a independent contractor and have different responsibilities and haven't been around her as much during this last phase of her career. But whenever I see her, it's always smile high. You know, if we have a chance to talk, we will. Know her husband, David, really well. And remember when they came here and gotten to know them over the years. So good family. Don't have any super memories. She and her staff sent a blanket when our son was born in 2005, a Hawkeye blanket, sent that to us. So, it's kind of, there's a sadness in my head in a way, thinking that she's retiring because I was there at the start and it makes me feel old, but I'm happy for her and I hope she enjoys the heck out of her retirement. She's earned it. Post that's now been deleted by AJ Guyton inferred that the women's basketball recruits weren't told Lisa was retiring. Hoping no one decides to reopen their recruitment doesn't seem like Lisa to not have told recruits, but maybe her decision was an abrupt one. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, it's a very delicate situation, Emily, in the sense that do you say, listen, I'm kind of going through the thought process now of considering retirement. You don't want to put that in there and then not retire. So it is something, a process you go through with your family, your coworkers. I know the team is kind of part of that, but from a recruit standpoint, my guess is she did not know when these kids signed in November that she was going to retire. Again, I want to hear from Lisa. Do not want to put words in her mouth, but I'm sure their explanations will come from this. I feel pretty confident that the explanation will be relayed to the recruits. And, you know, if anybody wants to get out or feels like they're better served moving on now that there's a head coaching change, there's nothing you can do about that. And if it happens, it happens. Lisa made a life decision. So other people have to make life decisions based on her life decision. But I don't see this as being a trick or sneaky to try to get recruits to stay, even though she was, I don't see any of that. I could be totally off base on that, but we'll see. I have a good feeling that the 2024 class stays together and they continue to recruit well and build off the momentum they achieved in making it to back-to-back national championship games. All right, folks, we've gone about 50 minutes here, which is longer than I wanted to go, but appreciate all of your questions. That's going to do it for another Hawk Fanatic Mailbag podcast. Thanks again for your questions. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much to our sponsors. I will be back live stream 9 a.m. Central Time, Thursday morning, YouTube. Me, Scott Doctorow for The Athletic. We'll talk more about Lisa and Jan and football and transfer portal and all that good stuff on Thursday. So please join us then. Until then, enjoy the next couple days. And if I don't talk to you Thursday, have a good rest of your week and weekend. And we'll talk to you soon. Peace.